Okay, so it's a little bit of a break last week because of Purim, but we'll try to get back into the sugya. So we're holding by Torah Dalet and Lakut Maran. We're up to Eis Dalet and Torah Dalet. So just Nachmal, to get back into the sugya, just to chazer a little bit of what Renachman is talking about. So Renachman is describing to us what's the avoida for a person to live in a way that's M'en Olam Haba. That's really the goal over here. What does it mean to live in a way that's Me'en Olam Haba, which right away, as we mentioned, right away is connected to the Bechina of Shabbos. Shabbos is a day which is Me'en Olam Haba. So this Torah is going to be very much about L'chaira, about how to connect to Shabbos. So first, Rabbi Nachman has to define for us what Olam Haba is, and then we can pull back and sort of relate what our avodah would be in order to connect to that. So what is Olam Haba? So again, not using exactly the language that Nachman says that the experience of Olam Haba is that which is until now in this world defined as negative, ultimately becomes just as positive as positive. Everything is, or in the language that Nachman said, the name of Elokim, which is Midas Hadin, and the name Yud Kevavke, which is Midas Hachesed, to be Mamish One, Hashem Echad Ushmayecha, to be Mamish One. Now, you know, there's a later piece in the Kut Maran in Tinyana Zion, Kimrachim of Yinayim. It's a famous piece where Nachman over there says, in the beginning of the Torah over there, that what's the greatest tragedy for a Jew? In other words, again, what Nachman is saying is, the definition of Olam Haba is that which is negative to be experienced as positive. So what's the ultimate negative? What's the ultimate negative to then be experienced as positive? I mean, what's like Shpitz Olam Haba? So Rav Nachman, in that Torah, in Tinyan Zion, Rav Nachman says over there that the great, I'll share with you the language, it's in Zion Gimel, just a couple lines over there. He says, Kikir HaRachmanis, the saddest thing, the most tragic thing of all, is Kishi Yisrael Am Kaddish, Noifim Chasashon Ba'avainis, is when a Yid falls into Averis, Rachman Latzan. Kizeh HaRachmanis, HaGadol Mekalmin HaRachmanis, that's the saddest thing. Kikol HaYisur HaKashin Shav HaYilam, all the most difficult suffering in the world, Einam Nechshav Mekalal, Keneged HaMaseh Kavit Shal Avainis, is nothing compared to the heavy weight of Averis on an Hashem of a Yid. So he says, Kishi Yisrael Noisim Ba'avainis, Chasashon Zeh HaMaseh Kavim Ba'ayim, when a Yid falls into Averis, that's the heaviest burden. So in other words, Rav Nachman Lishitasa is telling us that the most tragic thing in the world, the most difficult Yisurin, is a neshama experiencing Averis. No, so now let's go back to Pis Dalet over here. So if Olam Haba means the greatest Yisurin being experienced as positive, it means that the site of Olam Haba is that which is mamish, Zedonis Nasas Keschias, is the site of Averis themselves becoming somehow uplifted to be something positive. Which means, therefore, the framing of this piece is going to be in this way. The avoid of how a person lives, Me'en Olam Haba, is going to be somehow to taste a little bit of that. How an aveir itself, how falling into, which is the greatest suffering of all, itself can be experienced as something positive at the end. So how could that be? So that's what Rav Nachman is trying to explain to us over here. But again, so Bekitzer, what we saw already was, just to sort of get back into the Yisod HaDavar, is that what's the process of Olam Haba? So again, the experience of Olam Haba somehow is that which is the biggest negative to somehow be a positive. What does that mean? What are the mechanics? What's the Indian? So we explain that the process of Olam Haba is the sort of reverse engineering of creation. That's really what Olam Haba is, but not just a reverse engineering where everything goes back to nothing, as if it never happened, but a reverse engineering where there's an actual net gain, where everything is, where there's something gained from it. So what is that? So he explained that the process of creation is what? Starts off with Hashem Echad, there's a one God. And that one God wants to create, decides to create a universe which is kivyochol, experienced as separate from him, which is called his Malchus. The Rabbanu Shalom wants to establish his Malchus. And the way the Rabbanu Shalom establishes his Malchus, which is the separate world that we experience with Bechira and everything that fills it, is through Dibur, is through speech, right? Yihiyar, Nasa Adam. So Rabbanu Shalom speaks, and the Mela, B'dvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu, through speech, the Rabbanu Shalom's Malchus is created. Now, in that malchus that's created, which is now kviyachol a separate reality, there's a possibility for all sorts of things. It could be good, it could be bad. All averus chas v'shalom, all sorts of inyanim. So, that's the reality of olam hazeh. What's olam haba? So, olam haba, as we said, is reverse engineering. That is all of creation, which now exists as separate, becoming broken down to what it ultimately is in its core, which is the words of Hashem, and even that being returned to its ultimate core, which is what? Which is just movement and expression. And so what Olam Haba is the world returning to its source in Elikos, where the net result is what? Is the Rabbanu Shloilam finding himself, kviyachol, in a situation where he's mamish in a much more expressed than before. And as the world that we have now is, there's a metzias kviyachol outside of Hashem. But when that metzias returns kviyachol into Elikus, then when it returns to Elikus, it's broken down to its basic components, which is tenu, which is movement. That's what words are. It's vibration. That's what words are in their essence. And so the net result is kviyachol the Rabbanu Shalom moving and dancing and laughing and just in a constant state of revelation. So this is the nature of what Olam Haba is, that everything of this world being reoriented as a vehicle through which the Rabbanu Shloilam is revealing more of himself. That's what Olam Haba is. And that process is described by the Mekubalim, by the Leshem and other tzaddikim, as this idea of the world, which is a Zach, returning to its original state of Dibur, and Dibur returning to its fundamental reality, which is vibration and movement of the speaker himself. So it's just the speaker mamish moving. Now this is where Rav Nachman doesn't say this openly, but the Leshem talks about this bariches, is that these two qualities of kviyachol the Rabbanu Shloilam existing, plus the movement of speech resulting in this kviyachol revelation of Elikus, that what Olam Haba is, in the Samar Kedoshim, these are connected to the two qualities, that's called Chesed and Gevura. Chesed and Gevura. Chesed always means that which is. Gevura means that which, Gevura is a kayach to pull something apart, to make something move, to make something constantly in flux. That's what Gevura means. The Yichud, when we talk about the world returning back to its origin point, resulting in Elikus, the Rabbanu Shloilam, in the state of tenua, of movement, that's called an ultimate Yichud of Chesed and Gevura. That's what Chesed and Gevura is. That's the ultimate Yichud of Chesed and Gevura. And that's what Olam Haba is described as, which is that experience of where everything in this world returns to Elikus, to the degree where everything is a vehicle for the Rabbanu Shloilam's movement outward. Now let's understand. Now this is where it gets a little bit ironic. But of all aspects of this world, the one aspect which has the most movement to it, the most power of the most ADD quality of reality is the Eitz Ahara. The Eitz Ahara is mamash. The Eitz Ahara is lamalal. The Eitz Ahara is very calm and very patient. It's more chesedic. Is. The nature of the Eitz Ahara is mamash to move, not be satisfied, to be always hungry, and v'chulu. So, ironically, it's davka, that this ultimate kayach, which is called movement of compelling the Rabbanu Shloilam out, kviyachol, of hiding, when the world returns back to Elikus and all of reality is redefined as this kayach of gevura, of movement, of tenua, resulting in the Rabbanu Shalom revealing himself more and more, of all the parts of reality to be able to do this the best, is taka that which right now is defined as the Eitzahar. It's dafka that kayach, which we struggle with the most right now, in its root is mamish stark unsettledness and movement. That's what it is. So it takes, you know, thousands of years, it takes 6,000 years and so on for us to work through it. But once it's all worked through, the net gain of this world, and specifically the where Ra is coming from, is mamish of the best benefit. Because what ultimately results of that, when everything's returned to Elikus, is a Rabbanu Shalom that's everlastingly revealing himself more and more. That's always mischadesh. That's a chai v'kayim, and that's what Olam Hava is described as. That's if you take a look at Pis Dalet. So we're going to see about this in a moment. But basically, so that's why if you think about this, what we just described is a little bit of a bechin of Shabbos. That's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is men olam haba. And so Shabbos, the Rabbanu Shalom rested, right? So Rabbanu Shalom rested. So I asked already Friday night, what does it mean the Rabbanu Shalom rested from working on Shabbos? The world is still being created on Shabbos. What does it mean the Rabbanu Shalom rested? So the answer is the resting of the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't mean that he stopped doing anything. It means the resting of the Rabbanu Shalom Kivyachol on Shabbos is Me'en Olam Haba. It means the world resting in terms of the Rabbanu Shalom moving out of himself, rather the reality returning back within the Rabbanu Shalom himself. The world returning, being broken down from being a separate reality to the Dibur of Hashem, the speech of Hashem, and then the speech of Hashem returning back to just the movement of the Rabbanu Shalom Kivyachol. The Rabbanu Shalom just laughing and moving from within himself, Kivyachol. And ultimately, that's what's amazing, is that of all the kaiches of creation that have the most vibration to them, that have the most kayach of gevura, the biggest kayach of movement, it's davka ra, it's davka ra. And so this is why Chazal say, that the Pasuk says, but right before Shabbos, Rabbanu Shalom looks at the world and he says, you know, the Pasuk says, he said everything was toiv ma'ayid. And what does it mean, ma'ayid? So toiv is the world is good. So what's toiv ma'ayid? What makes the world toiv ma'ayid? So Chazal say ma'ayid means zei yitzahara, zei malach ha-maves. Why? Because that's what the ma'aydkeit of reality, ma'aydkeit means gevura, means that movement. What makes something exciting is when there's something, and there's a the feeling of excitement is when there's you and you're moving. You're emotionally moved. That's even with the language that we have in English, like you're moved by something. That kayach of being moved is the kayach of gevura, and that kayach of gevura ultimately is found in extreme form dafka by the Eitzar, by the kayachas of evil. It's just that we, unfortunately, the unsettledness of Ra, we deal with in its most grotesque form. But Lamaisa, once it's working through, and we deal with the negative, you know, side effects of Ra, when you get to its core, what is it? It's a fire. That's what it is. And so that's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is the world being you know, deconstructed, and the world returning back to its source, Kivyachol and Elikos, but with a net result, and the result is the Rabbanu Shalom being more besimcha and more a more giloy, a state of everlasting hisgalus. And this is what Olam Haba is. Again, Olam Haba is therefore being described as a time where what? Where chesed and gevura are fully unified. Chesed and gevura are fully unified. Yud kevavkin elokim are fully unified. That which was negative is experienced as the ultimate positive. And so then we said from Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman then said, okay, so what is our avaida for that? So Rav Nachman said, we could also mimic that. A person also has this way of kivyachol betzalim elokim, we're creating Hashem's image, which means this same process of creation and the deconstruction of creation is something that we can go through as well. So what does it mean when we create and the deconstruction of our creation? So that's what we're going to see. That's what we saw a little bit last time. We're going to see more of today, which is that we also have the ability to create our malchus. We also create our universes, so to speak, also with our words, and as we'll see in a moment. And so Rav Nachman set an example. If a person does an aveir, a person does something negative, so a person has to do tshuva. A person has to fix it for sure. But we usually think, okay, so that means A person does something wrong, they do tshuva, back to just zero. Rachel says, no, that's not the avoida. That's not the avoida. Because every time the Yetzirah, you know, any time evil emerges out of a person, so you have to deal with the fallout, you have to do tshuva, you have to clean it up. But at the end of the day, when all the mess is cleaned up, what remains at the end is this kayach of gvura, is this deeper, this side of yourself that you yourself weren't aware that you had. And so now the avayda is not to disregard it. The avayda is to reincorporate that into the self, resulting in a deeper person. And so this is what Rabbi Nachman is talking about, that to experience, to be a b'china of me'en olam haba means to take one's experiences, even negative, and after you clean it up, and after you do tshuva and so on, is to then become a deeper, more profound, a more alive person because of it. Ad kedekach, where you can look back at the negative experiences in life and say, you know what, it was taiv mai, because I became a deeper person, and I know more about myself, and I'm a bigger Eved Hashem, and a more ma'id dekayid because of that. And that's what Rabbi Nachman was talking about over here. That's what he said, that the way to do this is when a person does something wrong, chas v'shalom, so it's to do tshuva, but then to be misvada, then to talk about it in front of a Talmud Chacham. That's what Rav Nachman talked about. To say, to again, you could try to confess your, you're not confessing your sins to a Talmud Chacham, but you're working it out. You're speaking the inyan out in front of a Talmud Chacham. What's the sin you're speaking it out? You already said vidui when you did tshuva. You already said Hashem Lubagan. The answer is that's dealing with the fallout of the sin. That's dealing with the klipa. But now we're trying to reincorporate the kaych of gevura, the thirst, the dissatisfaction that was fueling the Yetzer. Like what was, like I gave the example last time, is like, you know, you lose your temper on someone. So fine, so then you have to say you're sorry, you have to do tshuva. But then you have to think to yourself, okay, but where did that, so if I was so angry, it means there's a part of me that's unsatisfied. So where is that dissatisfaction coming from? Like where is that? And then when you identify that core and you reincorporate it into yourself in a healthy way, you become a better person because of it. You become a deeper person because of it. That's the process Ranach is talking about, of saying vidui in front of a Talmid Chacham, of speaking words, but now it's not creating a negative reality. Now it's a vibration, it's an expression, it's trying to reincorporate this gevura that was just released in an ugly way, reincorporating that in the self. And that's done in front of a Talmud Chacham, as we'll see later on. The Talmud Chacham is Bechinas Moshe, Moshe is Bechinas Shabbos. So you're trying to, in this atmosphere of Men Olam Haba, to try to experience what Olam Haba is, which is again this reverse engineering. So the person created a world, right? And the world was nice, and it was a little bit messed up. And now the goal is to be Men Olam Haba, is to take that world that you just created, and reincorporate it into the self to become a deeper person through that. To look at yourself and say, okay, what is this reality that I just created, you know, what does that say about me? Because very often we get, you know, Nachman has a piece where he talks about Zrizus, as obviously Zrizus we always associate as a good Mida, but sometimes Zrizus is a negative Mida. There's negative fallout. A person can be so busy creating, and you don't take a second to process and to think, well, if I created that, what does that say about me? So it's like you have to go through sometimes a moment of introspection to think to yourselves, like, okay, I'm being Isaac constantly in making worlds, but what do these worlds say about me? What about me is being expressed through these worlds? How do I reincorporate what I created into myself to redefine myself as a deeper or more three-dimensional person? And so that's Rav Nachman. That's the ultimate tikkun of a chait, where it's like you're not just fixing the mistake, you're reincorporating into yourself the vibration, the force behind that chait to become a deeper person because of it. And so that's me'en olam haba. Now, by the way, I'll just say something bekitzer v'amei v'nyavin. I know that most of you won't know, you might not know b'chlal what I'm talking about, but this next minute, maybe for sure, but it's kedai. Yeah, you put it out there, you put it in the back of your head, you know, Shama hears it. One of the, every single day of the week, whenever it comes to davening or any mitzvah, according to the Arizal, every tefillah and every avodah that we have always results in a yichud, in a connection between Kodesh Baruch Hu Shechente, between the neshama, between this world and the Rabbanu Shloilam. That's the tachlis, dir b'tachtayim. During the 6 days of the week, so according to, I can't say this is according to everyone, but according to many, many Mekubalim, there's a difference between the type of yichud that happens during the 6 days of the week versus the type of yichud that takes place on Shabbos. During the 6 days of the week, the yichud that we're piled during the 6 days of the week is between two kivyachol expressions of the Rabbanu Shalom, Hashem Echad, but two expressions of the Rabbanu Shalom, which is the Chinah Zachar and the Keva. So it's Kutshebrichu, Ishchintei, or it's Yudke Vavke, Adnai. And that's part of the Kavanas by the Mekubalim during the 6 days of the week is to be Mechavi, to two separate Shemus, and the unification of both, masculine and feminine. Okay, it's all Hashem Echad. When it comes to Shabbos, according to Menachem Mekubalim, the Kavanah is not with these two different expressions of masculine and feminine. It's a Yichud, from within the same expression, the masculine and feminine side of itself. The side of, like, which isn't, you know, during the 6 days of the week, there's this, like, two, the Kivyachol Kutshebrichu Ushchinte. On Shabbos, the side is that Kutshebrichu itself has a masculine and feminine. So in other words, the side of Shabbos is a Yichud that's from within an expression of the self. Not something outside that you're, like, happy with. Not just Yismach Hashem b'masav, that Hashem is rejoicing in His creation, but rather the creation itself is returning back to just within Kivyachol the Rabbanu Shalom, where it's the Rabbanu Shalom just revealing a deeper part of who He is. So it's a yichud b'nei obey. It's a yichud of just, instead of it being two separate, I'll just use the words, instead of it being like two separate partsufim, two separate expressions of Elikos, masculine and feminine, it's all one parts of, it's all one expression, just a masculine and feminine side of itself, which is the chesed and the gvur shabbai. The chesed and the gvur shabbai. And that's the side of what Shabbos is. Okay, enough confusing. Let's go back inside. So we're up to Aistalit over here. Ukesha Yeda calls us when a person knows all of this. When a person knows, but again, Yeda doesn't just mean to know intellectually, when it's experiential. When a person experiences this truth, that everything that a person does, even if it's a negative experience, it has the ability of becoming of revealing a deeper side of yourself. Once you work through it, the net result is a deeper person because of all of one's experiences. That's called a full knowledge of oneself. We don't. If a person is just good, person only does good things. Okay, then you don't really know. You don't really know who you are. A real yediyah shleima of who you are comes when there's a kasha. You know what I mean? And there's a kasha, then there's a teretz, right? So as a person goes through life, and then they think they're a good guy, and everything is going well, and all of a sudden they experience something where it's like there's a kasha. What's the kasha? Kasha is like, where'd that come from? Like, I thought I was nice. I thought I was, you know. And that's Akasha. That's the Koich of Gvura. It's like, it's a disruptive force. Like, I thought everything was Gleich and smooth, and all of a sudden there's like this disruptive force. But once the Teretz comes, then Rav Chashmaitza, then the Sugya that is you becomes much more clarified. So it's always easy when a person is going through a Sugya, you're learning a Sugya, and it's like, okay, no Kashas. When Akasha comes, so it's sometimes it's traumatic when Akasha comes. But if you have the strength to push through it and to persevere and to find the Teretz, then the Sugya becomes even more clear because of that. That's called the full Yediya. The main awareness, the main experience of oneself is when there's a Yichud of Chesed and Gevurah, where there's you and there's this force of the inner movement of you, of the different nuances of you, different sides of you, expressing itself all within you. Again, that's why when Gevurah is separate on its own, then it's just disjointedness. See, what is the Eitzar? Again, the Eitzar is Gevurah, is movement. But when it's disassociated from the big picture, then what is it? It's just, it's anarchy, right? It's like rebelliousness for the sake of rebelliousness, just the kayach of breaking things down. That's terrible. But when that force of movement, of conflict, of nuance is contained within the general picture of chesed, the general picture of the self, then it's not a force of anarchy, it's not a force of chaos, it's a force of expression. It's a force of it's like a piece of art. Whenever you look at it, you see a different side to it. So that means there's a lot of sides to that piece of art, but it's all part of this one big picture. And therefore, it's not a chaotic experience. It's a nuanced experience. So when the Yetzirah is, so that's the thing. When the Gevura is separate from the speaker, from the Chesed, and it exists in its own space, in its own universe, in its own separate reality, that reality, which is based on Gevura, could be a place of absolute anarchy. And Ilmoli Shalom Shel Malchus Ishes Rei Chaim B'Loi. It could be mamish, a place of chaos. But when that movement and chaos, when the chaos is settled and it returns back within the bigger picture of the person, of the chesed, then it's not chaos, it's nuance. And it's beauty. And so that's what's going on over here. That's the site of when we talk about chesed and gevura being united, then the gevura is not chaotic, it's not violent, it's adraba, it brings out the beauty of what was hidden in the chesed. So nikra das, that's called a full level of understanding, of self-awareness. Hayinu shlo yichalek min chesed l'din, not to separate between the two. V'yivorech al kulam hatoiv ha-metiv, the next page, to bless on everything, hatoiv ha-metiv. Hatoiv ha-metiv, that's even the words. Hatoiv ha-metiv means that which is good, and that's toiv. And metiv means the expression of good, the movement of good, that good moving out of itself. Even the bracha hatoiv ha-metiv is a me'en olam haba de gebracha. Nowadays, we can't say that on negative things because we're not mamish and olam haba. But that bechina of chesed and gevura being united is what olam haba is. Is that nikra Hashem echad u'shma yechad? That's Hashem echad u'shma yechad. K'maymer chachamin zecharon levracha shel osed yeachdus gomer, that when Mashiach comes, olam haba will be an absolute oneness. Sheyakuli hatoiv ametiv, and that's what it means. V'zeh Hashem echad. That's yud kevavka means chesed. Ushmoy, what is Hashem's name? Is that bechinas elokim, malchus? That's Hashem's malchus. That's Hashem's name. Baruch kvoid, baruch shem kvoid malchus, elon levod. That's the name elokim, balakaychus kulam. And so when, in olam haba is that this world which is separate, which is malchus, and again, when the world is separate, and the kaych of gevura, which is the foundation of that separateness, is disjointed from the chesed of the Rabbanu Shalom Kiviyachol, then it becomes a violent place. But when it's reincorporated into Elokus, then it's not violent at all. Then it becomes nuances. Then everything becomes just multifaceted and beautiful. That's Hashem Echad Ushma Echad. K'may Shekasev V'yas David Shem. And we know the word Shem. A name is associated with one's Malchus, like it says. David Melch had a name for himself. In other words, he established the Malchus. So Hashem Echad Ushma Echad means that they're absolutely united. Hashem and his Malchus, and his Chesed and Gevura, come together in Olam Haba. And that's why it's called Echad. Hashem Echad, Shema Echad, 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 B'mashi Ahava. It's Gmashi of love. What does love mean? Love is not Chesed by itself. Love is not Chesed by itself. Love is when Chesed, is when you're moved by something, by someone. That's called you express your love. You don't, when everything is just static, there's no sense of love. That's why very often when it comes to friends or other types of relationships, let's say you get into a fight. When the fight settles, then the ahav is greater. Why? Because when there was a fight, it means before the fight, it was just chesedic, it was just mitzias. You live under the same roof, you work together, whatever the matzah was, it was just kacha. All of a sudden, there's a fight. What does a fight mean? It means there was gevura that was released in the relationship. But the gevura that was released vis-a-vis the relationship was disassociated from the oneness. And so what does it result in? Chaos, right? But when all the dust settles and you say you're sorry, you do tshuva and so on, and then what happens? Then that force of gevura is then reincorporated into the relationship, and now the relationship is even more loving and more intense. And so the ahava, the you know, azakamavas ahava, that the you know, Rishpe Eshel Heviska, the ultimate ahava between two Yidden and between Hashem and the Jewish people, is only expressed once the gevuras are released. When the gevuras are released and they're then reincorporated back into the experience, that's a shalhuven derechimu. That's a fiery love, and that's what we want. That's what Olam Haba is. So that's what it means. Hashem Echad Ushma Echad, that Hashem and His name will be one, and Echad is v'gnashi ahava. That's a real ahava. Haynu hayin Hashem shu rachamim, and ain't shemoy shu bechinas alakim bechinas din. Kula tevascha, it's all for one's benefit. Machmas ahava shakash baruch oivayscha, because of Hashem's love for us. Hashem loves for us, and He wants us to be able to experience that love, and He wants Himself to kviyachal to be able to express that love. And so this requires a relationship which is called chesed, a reality of oneness which is called chesed, but a movement of that reality. And again, this is all reflected in the person himself. To truly love yourself, and this is the chiddush over here, to truly love yourself, you have to have kashas on yourself first. You have to have kashas. And then you come up with trutzim. And then you could love yourself. Because before the kashas come, you don't know who you are, b'chlos. I mean, you love yourself. You have no idea. You can say the words, you don't even know who you are. How do you know who you are? Oh, the Yetzer comes. The Yetzer tells you who you are. That's who I am. Not in its grotesque form, but when the dust settles, I will then be able to discover who I am better. And that becomes a more understand. That's why, you know, v'yahav l'rechah kamaycha. So, you know, v'yahav l'rechah kamaycha, I should love a Jew like I love myself. So that indicates that you have to love yourself. You have to love another Jew. So how do you love another Jew? The guy, l'maisa, the guy is all messed up. So I should just ignore all that? And say, no, the answer is, you have to think of those also. Like, oh, he's a complex sugya. You know, those, if a person loves learning, so then it's dafka, the more complicated sugyas, and the more, you know, those are the more intriguing ones. So it's like, oh, that yid is that's a complicated sugya. So it's like, oh, that's intriguing. Let me think about it. Sometimes he comes with a tarot, sometimes he figures a kash, and that's it. But okay, but either way, it's like a complicated sugya. So that's, you know, there's a maisa to say with the Kotsky, right? That there was once a rav, I don't know if it was a chassid or not, whatever it is, but like Nebuch, this person went through tzaras, and he needed some chizik, so he went to the Kotsky. Out of all, you know, the Kotsker was very sharp, but he goes to the Kotsker for chizik, and the Kotsker says to him, and the Kotsker pulls a Gemara off the shelf, whatever, opens it to a particular Taisus, whatever, and so he says to the Rav, he's going through his Taisus, he says, I have a kasha on the Taisus. So, okay, so what's the guy? He says the kasha, and he asks the Rav, like, do you have a teretz? So the Rav gives a teretz. So the Kotsker then asks the kasha on that teretz. So the Rav gives a different teretz. So the Kotsker has kash in that teretz. They keep on going like this. So the Kotsker in the middle, he says to the Rav, I don't understand. Why can't you just say Taisus is wrong? Like oh, you have so many, you try. Like I'm disproving all your truths, and you keep on coming back and figuring out another. Like just say Taisus is not wrong. Taisus of course is right. I just don't. I'm not masig. What's going on at Taisus? You have to work hard. So the Kotsker said, if that's true for Taisus, you don't think that's true for the Rabbanu Shlomo? It's like you're bothered with what's going on in your life. Kilo, it's like it shouldn't be. It's a kasha. But if you have a kasha and a taisus and you don't rip the taisus off the page because it must be a tai cipher or something, right? So you don't do that for the Rabbanu Shalom either. And in other words, that is not only a way of like dealing with tzaras. That's a way of actually deepening your hiskashus and your ahava with Hashem. That Hashem is like, wow, it's like, okay, that's not like, he's complicated. And with all of that, that complicated God loves me and is interacting in my life. Wow, that means I must be complicated. So you see a yid that's complicated, it's a reflection on you're also complicated. That's what it means to love another Jew, not to be oblivious to what they're doing, to the complexity of their life. But that's what a yid is. K'mei shekasav, Esa sheryev Hashem yechiach, the one that Hashem loves, is the one that Hashem is mechiach, that Hashem gives, what does it mean? Teichacha. Teichacha means weiter. The Rabbanu Shalom sends gvuris into a person's life. The Rabbanu Shalom wants you to discover yourself. That's what it means, Musa. That's what it means, Teichacha. The one that Hashem loves, the one that Hashem wants to express, wants that love to be fiery, and wants the Jew to have a fiery love for himself, the Rabbanu Shalom sends him Yetzar, sends him Gvuras. Uksiv, Rak Eschem Yadati Mekol Mishpachais Adama, only you, Yadati, do I fully know, and I want you to know who you are. Al Kein Efker Aleichem Avinesechem. That's why I can't ignore your Averis. Why? Because it's not what I mean. Hashem says, I love you so much, that's why I have to punish you for every single aveira. Right? I mean, that's what we're taught as kids. And like somehow we try to make sense of that. But the sight of that is, the Rabbanu Shalom, like, I love you so much and I can't love you unless you know why I love you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it takes two to tango. Like, if Hashem wants to say shir shirin to us and we're completely oblivious to all of these inyanim, Then what type of hanot does the Rabbanu Shalom get? Kiviyachas, so he's singing poetry to us, and we're like completely oblivious to what he's talking about. And all we're doing is like medayik, and it's like and I'm chopping what the inyan is. So in order for us, in order for Hashem to express His love to us, to celebrate our complexity, we have to celebrate our complexity. So efkid aleichem of an eseichem. That's why you have a big yetzara, but you have to work through it. In other words, work through it means, take care of all the fallout, say you're sorry, to do the tshuva. But then afterwards, reincorporate the experience into the self, say vidoy b'fnei ha-talmud chacham, incorporate the experience and become a deeper person because of it. And then when the Rabban Shalom says shir shir to you, you could hear it. Otherwise, the Rabban Shalom is talking to a three-dimensional character and all you see yourself is two-dimensional. So it's like, it's not a shidduch. So now he says like this, v'avonos of shel adam, just a few more minutes, when a person does averis, in other words, so now what we're saying is that what are averis? What's the experience of sin? The experience of sin is the koich of gvura, but when it's disjointed, when it's separate from who the person truly is, right? It's kiviyachol a world that's created outside of the self, and that world which is founded on movement, but when it's separate from the speaker, it's violent and chaotic and like all over the place. So Rav Nachman says like this, avinoysa shel adam heim al atzmoysof. When a person does an avera, that chaos, it makes the person chaotic. It makes the person disjointed. It becomes etched in one's bones. In other words, what does it mean to be etched in the bones? Rav Nachman later on in the piece explains this. It means like, kivyachol, as if like your bones are broken, it's disjointed. And so gevura, when gevura is released unhealthfully and separate from the person in an expression of averis, then the person feels like in a state of chaos because of that. That's the kasha. And so then the avoda is to rediscover oneself in a way that's big enough to incorporate those gevuras, and then you're even better, stronger for it, right? But that's what he's describing right now, what an avera is. When the avera comes, when gevura is released separate from chesed, it creates this real disjointedness, this real inner chaos that the person has a real kasha, like, who am I? What am I? And maybe I'm taka living a double life, a triple life, a quadruple life. Maybe I'm like all over the place. That's the feeling, that's the fallout of averis. So very often, the ikr tzar of an avera very often is not so much like the punishment, or the klipah shabai, but it's the disjointedness and the kasha on oneself that one feels like, I thought I was a good guy and all of a sudden I'm not. So maybe my whole life is being like on shaky ground. Like that's what Rav Nachman describes over here as averis being etched. Etched means like cutting through, right? It's like where the bones are broken because of one's averis. K'mesha kasav, like it says, v'ti avinasam chakuk al atzmaisam. That one's averis are carved into one's bones. V'chol aver yesh letzerf oisius. And he says, in every avera is really, it's an amazing thing. Every avera is also a creative process. But what you're creating is anarchy. What you're creating is disjointedness. What you're creating is a kasha. But it's also a creative experience. Kol aver yesh letzerf oisius. And how is creation is always through words. So every time a person does an avera, you're also creating something with letters, with words. That what? It's just instead of the word being, loyseilech rachel v'amecha, don't say lashon hara, now you use those letters, which should have created a beautiful universe, which is called not saying lashon hara, and those letters just created a universe, which is the opposite, which is saying lashon hara, and it created an inner chaos within the person. Again, this piece we're gonna see next week. We'll chazer over, but just a little bit, very quickly. When a person does an aver, as I nechkach tzeiruf ra'al atzmoisav, then that negative reality, which was created through those letters, which should have created a healthy place and a good place, a good malchus, now created a violent, unstable malchus. That reflects back on the person, and the person himself feels unstable because of it. And that word, those letters of Torah, which should have created, which had the opportunity to create a beautiful space for the person if they overcame the Yetzirah, but rather it created a negative space that, again, like I said, like Rav Nachman says, it creates an unstable malchus, an unhealthy malchus, a rebellious dikah malchus, which then the person has tremendous pain over, because it's like if I created that, if that came out of me, it means that within me there's this chaos and this instability, and that's a disturbing thought. But again, that's the avodah, to sort of realize that that chaos that came out of me, it's not true, but it has, but that's just, that can be used as a way of me discovering deeper parts of myself, as long as I'm able to become bigger enough, big enough to encompass it. So he says, okay, we'll see more about this next week. But he says like this: "Haynu shemachnis b'chinas malchus shebchinas daber echelador," which means that the malchus, the universe that you created, which is through speech, who machnis ois b'teicha hakum, you just sent it into galus, into anarchy, into chaos. The noislam mashal, and you've given it its own strength. You know, lamashal. He says, for example, im aver al dibra shalav lo yilcha. So a person violated the prohibition of not having another god, chas v'shalom, avoy dezara, whatever. Azay macher v'tzirfa toiv shel adibur, then instead of a beautiful universe that would have been lo yilcha being created, then those same letters of lo yilcha now created an unhealthy universe. Ubayna tzirf ra, and it creates a negative permutation of those letters. The nechach atzir zelts moisav. And those letters, that negative universe that you just created, the universe of chaos that you just created through the Aveira, now becomes ingrained and etched in one's bones, the Naikin by, and gives and takes revenge against you. And that's the tsar, that's the Yisurin of the Aveira itself. K'may shekasev avneseichem hitu eila, that the Aveira is what's causing you this discomfort. Uksiv tamoises rasha ra, that the rush is killed by his own evil. But then through expressing oneself and through talking it out and through reincorporating that experience into oneself healthily, then that carving, that breaking of the bones that came through those words is taken away. And they become a more healthy speech. They become a more healthy universe. And they become a more, and the result of that is a person that's even more complicated and more nuanced. Ki adibur yotzei matzmoisav, speech we find comes from bones. K'may shekasev kol atzmoisei temarna. So kol atzmoisei temarna means that which is until now breaking my bones and making me feel disjointed. Actually, then if I could redefine that speech in a healthy way, those letters which are the building blocks of creation, but then I can turn those letters into a positive. Expression of myself, then the net result is even greater. Umachriv habinyan, v'atzirif hara, and breaks down the negative malchus. Ubayinim ha malchus de kedusha. Okay, there's obviously a lot going on in this piece. Bez Hashem, we'll see next week more. Pratis.